All right, in order to be mindful of the time, I will go ahead and get started. I do want to ask again, does everyone have their handout? We do have, Mr. McCall has some extras for anyone that still needs one. Okay. All right, if you'll turn to page 1 for me. All right, in Roman numeral 1, it says we're looking at personality and leadership, and I do just want to give a quick overall definition for personality. That is the distinctive character and qualities of a person, so those distinctive qualities of you, which we just looked at. Then leadership. Earlier in this series, when we were looking at the role of the leader, Pastor Mike taught us that leadership has two sides. Does anyone remember what those two sides are? Or one of them? Influence. Leadership is influence. And the biblical side, leadership is service. See, you remember. So we're looking at personality and then those two sides of leadership, influence and service. Okay, you're not a leader if you're not serving and making an impact on others. Okay, last time we looked at the impact that the leader has, they impact the climate, they impact your motivation, they impact the bottom hardline, bottom of what the organization is able to accomplish. So leaders are very important. So how can we become leaders? Well, we have to build and cultivate those relationships. You're not a leader if you're not connecting with people. And to connect with people, we have to build those relationships. They don't just happen. All right, so look at our point 1. It talks about that leaders are in the relationship business. When it comes to building relationships and leading others, you must start with self-awareness, and that starts with personality. And that's what we started our whole workshop off today with. All right, so what is personality? We have 4 points. It's made up of the characteristics, patterns of thought, feelings, and behaviors that make a person unique. Personality is also the inherent driver of how we act. It drives our actions. C, the particular tendencies to feel, think, and act in certain ways that can be used to describe personality. We don't all act the same. We don't all do the same things. We have a unique personality, and we need to discover it. Point D, your personality is how you present yourself to the world. Remember that public self we looked at? It is how others see you, and it's the catalyst for leadership effectiveness. All right, so personality impacts how we lead. So let's look at some personality elements. What are the elements of personality? This is not specifically written in the notes, but we are going to look at it on the chart. So if you have a pen and desire to take notes, personality elements, I'll quickly go through just a couple. The first is knowledge. And knowledge is what you know. This is under A. Personality elements. Let's look at a few of them. Knowledge is the first one, and knowledge is what you know. All right, another element under personality elements is skills. Skills are what you can do. So first we have knowledge, what you know. Secondly, we have skills, which is what you can do. And you can slow me down if need to. Thirdly, we have behaviors. This is how you act. So first, knowledge, what you know. Secondly, skills, what you can do. Thirdly, behaviors, how you act. Another personality element, fourthly, is values. And values are your inner rule book. So fourth, values, your inner rule book. Fifthly, motivators. These are those things that spark your interest and move you to act. So the fifth personality element is motivators. These are those things that sparks your interest and moves you to act. All right, the sixth personality element, traits, how you naturally operate. The sixth is traits, how you naturally operate. And you know we're going to have seven. Seventh is predispositions. All right, predispositions is that way of thinking and doing coded in your DNA. So predispositions, way of thinking and doing coded in your DNA. And I'll do that again. Number seven is predispositions, way of thinking and doing coded in your DNA. All right, I'll do all seven again from the top. We're under personality elements, and I wanted to look at seven. First, knowledge. This is what you know. Secondly, skills, what you can do. Thirdly, behaviors, how you act. Fourthly, values, your inner rule book. Fifth, motivators, those things that spark your interest and move you to act. Six is traits, how you naturally operate. And then seven, predispositions, your way of thinking and doing that's coded in your DNA. All right, so those are the personality elements. Let's look at some points about them. Number one, behind everyone is a highly complex and constantly changing mix of personality elements that make you up. We all have different knowledge sets, different skills, different values, even though some may be similar, different motivators, different traits. Secondly, these elements play an important role in helping to define the person you are and also your resulting leadership style. Thirdly, only when you start to explore and understand these underlying elements of personality that drive the things you do, can you then be true to yourself and become a natural and genuine leader. And that's what we want. We have to know ourselves fully inside and out before we can step out into leadership. All right, the fourth point under personality elements, when considering your personality, it's important to recognize that some elements of you are relatively adaptable and as such can be developed relatively quickly and easily. Other aspects of your personality, however, such as your traits and predispositions, are far more enduring. The relatively enduring nature of these elements, traits and predispositions, mean you must learn to work with and adapt them rather than trying to change dramatically who you are. And that'll make more sense as we look at the chart on the next page. If you'll turn the page to the chart, we're going to look at these elements in a chart form based on what the point we just made about some things you can adapt quickly and some things not so quickly. All right, so let's look at those seven elements. If you look down the middle of the chart, does everyone have this chart in front of them? Okay. This is your personality and its spectrum of adaptability. So let's look at those elements we just described. We have knowledge, skills, behaviors, values, motivators, traits, and predispositions. All right, so now we want to take stock of those that are more adaptable and those that are less adaptable. So first, let's look at knowledge and skills at the top. And if you look to the left with me, it says that those are in an area that is identified as more trainable. And then if you scroll your eyes to the right, your awareness of them is more conscious. Let me give an example. How many of you know that you know how to add and subtract? Okay, that's a knowledge and skill, right? Okay, you know it, and can't nobody tell you differently, right? According to our chart, we're more conscious of it. We know we can add, right? And it's more trainable. If I decide I want to advance my math skills and learn geometry or calculus or whatever the case may be, I know, number one, that I'm not good at calculus, but I know I can go and get some training. So I'm more conscious of it, and I can readily seek training, so it's more trainable. Would you agree? All right, so let's look back at our chart. The next area, talks about behaviors. All right, according to this, it has gone to a lower area in trainability, okay, and a lower area in consciousness. So let's look at behavior. Let me ask a question. How many of you know that you talk with your hands over 20% of the time? Okay, some people are like, do I do that? Okay, and that was my point. I wanted to see some hands go up slower to say that some of those, when we get to behaviors, values, and motivators, we're not as aware of them. Sometimes it takes others to show us, you know what, you talk with your hands a lot. I'm gonna need you to stop that. No, I'm just kidding. But you can see how our consciousness was not as readily heightened as it would have been. And then trainability. If someone tells you, you know, you talk with your hands a lot, then the next time you talk to somebody, you're going to be like, okay, I need to sit on my hands, put them in my pocket. I'm going to have to give more conscious effort to not do that or to change that or to adapt that. And so that's where we are on the adaptability scale. Next, let's go down to the traits and predispositions area. Okay, now this is that area that is less trainable and we're less conscious of it. All right, so let me look at an example. How many of you have ever did or said something just like one of your parents and you didn't want to? I did not. Did I just say that? Just like mom. No, I didn't. Okay, well, sometimes it takes that instance for us to recognize it. We're less conscious of it. It's less trainable. Sometimes we do it and don't want to do it, but it's in there. If you recall, traits and dispositions are those things that are coded in our DNA, so they're in there, and we have to develop a consciousness, number one, and then decide our plan of attack. How am I going to adapt this when this behavior arises? So that was the whole idea behind this spectrum of adaptability. We need to be conscious and aware of ourselves, not only our knowledge and skills, but also our behavior, values, motivators, and those traits, those things that are coded on our DNA and stuck to us. We do need to know what they are, recognize them, and then decide how are we going to mold and shape them for each new circumstance. So that was the point of this particular chart. Does that help anybody? Okay. All right, we'll move on. If you will take out your personality assessment results, I just want you to kind of put them on the side of your lap. We're not quite ready to get to them yet, but I do want you to have them on your side as we get to as we decide to delve deeper into these personality traits. You should have two. One of your results should say your Big Five results, the Big Five personality test. It may look like this. It has a Big Five on it, and it has what aspects of your personality does this tell about me kind of thing, and then it goes on to tell you about you in relation to those Big Five. That's one of them. Then the other one was from the, it had kind of UK as the end of the website designation, but it starts with feedback, I think was at the top of the page, and then it goes into factor one, factor two, three, four, or five. So if you'll have both of those by you as we go through the personality traits. All right, so now we're going to look at personality traits, and we are going to concentrate on that Big Five. All right, so number one, it is generally accepted that your personality is made up of the Big Five traits, okay? And this was established by several psychologists. Number two, there is no judgment attached to each trait. Neither is deemed to be good or bad. They're just more or less appropriate for different roles and situations. No single trait is right or wrong for being an effective leader. Three, the key insights for leaders is to know your personality traits and maintain a conscious awareness of them as you act and make decisions as a leader. Remember, we just had the chart that kind of showed us our consciousness on different personality elements. That consciousness is what you want to keep before you. You don't want to forget how you are. You want to be conscious of it so that you'll know how to navigate through the circumstances of leadership. Four, personality traits that enhance leadership effectiveness in one situation may actually impair it in another. 5, it is relatively uncommon for people to be at either extreme on these scales. They're more likely to be at some point along them. I'd have to agree with that. You're not likely to be 100% extrovert, 0% introvert. That would be unhealthy. If you can imagine a person that's always social, has to be with people at all times, that's not healthy. There are times when we have to kind of pull away and be by ourselves. So you're not going to be 100%, 0%. You're going to be somewhere along the scale, which represents balance. All right, so a quick overview of the different traits. We have the extrovert on one end, then introvert, agreeable, disagreeable, conscientious, carefree, open, closed. Then we have what is called emotionally controlled, and I like to think of it in this way, controlled by your emotions, also known as neuroticism, and emotionally free, which means you're not controlled by your emotions. All right, so let's look at these in more detail. On the next page, understanding the Big Five personality traits. All right, number one, we're looking at the extrovert-introvert. This scale describes the level to which people rely on the external world to gain their energy. All right, so one end is the extrovert. And we may say that this is the lively socialite or social butterfly. This describes a preference for externalizing thoughts, tend to gain energy by being with others. We all know these, talkative, okay? You know that person that's talkative, maybe to a fault. They express their thoughts and feelings. They relax and unwind by being with others and tend towards activities that involve being with and interacting with others, will generally prefer to have a wider circle of friends. You gotta love these people. I mean, my sister, I believe this is her. And I love her, and I could see it even from when she was little. She would have kids a little older than her taking her with them to Six Flags. And I'm thinking, why would an eighth grader want to take a fourth grader with them to Six Flags? Whatever. But she's really lively, and she loves to be around people, and they just enjoy her, and I enjoy her too. So that's just an example of an extrovert. All right, on the other end, we have me. This is me, Phi, me. Okay, who's in that fraternity with me? Me, Phi, me, just me? Hello, see what I'm talking about? Okay, all right, these people will tend to gain their energy from within themselves, are commonly characterized as more comfortable with ideas than people, think first, talk later. They stop and reflect before responding and consider others carefully. Let their finger do the talking. They usually prefer writing to talking. Lastly, they prefer internalizing their thoughts. They embrace solitude and prefer to relax by being on their own and will tend towards activities in work and pleasure that involve few or no people. I'm just kidding. Yes. All right, let's look at the second attribute. This is agreeable versus disagreeable, okay? You got your yes man and you got your no man. All right, in politics, there are a lot of yes men, right? Yes, whatever, yes. You want, yes. They don't know the word no. Yes. This is the yes man. Okay, so they will be cooperative, sympathetic, and kind towards others, highly agreeable. Individuals are likely to be affectionate, interested in other people, will generally want to strive to maintain relationships. They don't want to break those ties. That's the yes man. All right, on the other extreme, we have the disagreeable, the no man. Will have little or no interest in others, are unlikely to have any particular feelings or concerns about maintaining relationships, and therefore tend to have no worries about raising issues that may upset relationships. For some reason, this is my brother. Okay, if we're talking about anything, he gonna be the opposite of whatever we're talking about. He'd be like, it's raining outside. No. We'd be like, it is raining outside. No. And I'm like, okay. And I wonder how he has friends, because he will throw things out there that you'd be like, how do you still have friends? I mean, just disagreeable for no reason. Every time I ask him something, he say no. I say, will you wash my car? He say no. If I'm leaving my mama's house and I say, okay, you gonna walk me to the door? No. And I'll be like, do you not know the word? Yes, he does it, but he gonna say no. And I'm just like, okay, whatever. But okay, so that's the no person. Three, conscientious versus carefree. All right, here we're referring to the way individuals approach the completion of activities. All right, at the conscientious extreme, individuals will be highly self-disciplined, will plan carefully, set in place mechanisms to ensure completion of tasks, and see things through to the end. Will tend to matters of detail, ensuring everything is accurate, okay? They want to see it get done, okay? We don't want to have an open line item. We want it finished, complete, done, wrapped up. That's the conscientious. And then we got the carefree. It says they have no interest in getting things done, will have little or no interest in detail or accuracy, who, when it comes to their approach to life or completing tasks, tend to dislike organization. They don't want those rigid parameters. They want to enjoy the journey. And whether we admit it or not, they sometimes make the journey fun, even though for those of us that are trying to get it done, they'll help us enjoy it along the way. Next, we have on the next page, the open versus closed. This scale describes the extent to which people are open to new ideas and experiences, the arts, and to emotions. All right, so open. This person will be highly inquisitive, open to new ideas, and prefer thinking in conceptual big picture terms, will be appreciative of the arts and beauty, will enjoy and seek opportunities for variety and change. Okay, so they don't want the same monotonous thing every day. They want to do something different, work on a new project, see something different, go somewhere new. They're open. Closed. Are generally traditional and logical in their thinking. Will prefer routine and things that are straightforward and unambiguous. When considering change, they will tend to adapt existing ways, preferring incremental rather than radical change. Okay, these people, I don't want no change. I want my socks in the top drawer where they always been and nowhere else. I thought I was open. I did, and then I took the test, and I was like, oh, I guess I'm not open. I like art and beauty, but I must like, you know, but anyway, my stock's in the top drawer, exactly. All right, so that's the open versus closed. All right, the next area, we have emotionally controlled versus emotionally free, sometimes referred to as neuroticism. All right, the last scale is a difficult one because almost by definition, the one end of the scale is seen as negative and judgmental, which is not the case for other scales. All right, so someone who is emotionally controlled or ill at ease, remember, controlled by emotions, they're emotional, maybe negative in their thinking, anxious, and highly reactive to stressful situations. A good point of this may be that they'll help to bring attention to whatever is going on, to what the problem is. It won't go unnoticed because the emotionally controlled person is going to say, we need to do something about this. Something is going wrong. So they sometimes help to bring our attention to it earlier than we may have noticed. Next, people who are emotionally free, on the other hand, generally relaxed, comfortable with who they are, stable in terms of their moods, not easily stressed by different situations. It may take a lot for the issue to come to light to them, so you can see the balance in those two areas. All right, so before we get to the conclusions, let's look at us. You have your assessments out on your lap, correct? All right, let's look at the two side by side. All right, remember, the reason we wanted you to have two gives you validity. For example, if one person tells you something, may or may not be valid, but out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So you have two witnesses in front of you, right? All right, so what do the two witnesses say about you as it relates to extroversion? Does anyone want to share? Mr. Lorenzo? Okay. So somewhere in the middle, the one that's under feedback when it says about average, you're kind of in the middle. Their scale kind of goes low, average, high. So you can kind of judge averages in the middle, like 50-50. Gotcha. Really? So you kind of got two different avenues on that. Well, you said low. Did you say, no, you said average. One says you're in the middle, and then the other says you're more introverted. Okay, I'm sorry about that. The hope was that you kind of got similar responses from both. That was the plan, so that you could, so it could validate, okay, yeah, well, I am kind of this way, but if you got two going in sort of different directions, then it may not be as helpful. But in light of our get to know yourself activity, would you say you're more introverted? You would say, okay, so it's not that far off. One says you're in the middle, and then one says you're kind of where you thought you were. I got you. Okay. Does anyone disagree with their, let me just see, or was... Okay, so most of us, we were kind of where we thought we were. Did everybody get a chance to do the two assessments? Let me ask that. Okay. Well, okay. Next one talks about agreeableness. Hold on. Well, actually, they're kind of in different orders on the different scales, so, but that's okay. One, they're not lining up as far as that, but they do all have all five. Mr. Harrison? Okay. All right, you want to tell us on our, we'll go in the order of the one on the feedback, but you can line it up with the other one. So the next area is agreeableness. Are you a yes man or a no man? Or in the middle. Okay. And me too. Okay. What is your percentile? Is it a high percentile? Yeah. Okay. Okay, okay. Well, we see where we are. We know, the yes man, no man was my little designation, but we know agreeable, they're really caring towards others. That's the real definition. All right, the next one, conscientiousness. Ms. Armstrong? Okay. Okay, that's a match. Thank you, ma'am. And neuroticism. This is the emotionally controlled or emotionally free. Did you want to? Yes, ma'am. One. Okay, so some of these you are getting a validation. some people are getting a validation that if you're low on one, you're low on the other. So that's good. That makes me a little bit more comfortable with the two assessments that we chose. And then the last one, openness versus closeness. Does anyone want to share before we get to the next activity? Yes, ma'am. Oh, sorry, I saw her hand first. Yes, ma'am. Ms. Kruger. Okay, so you had an 88%, and then the other one was relatively high? About average. Okay, so you were kind of middle to the higher end. So, okay, these are a little bit more accurate than I thought, but go ahead, pick the one that you agree with to work with for our next activity. So if you agree with, yes, one of the scale that you believe most accurately reflects you, we're going to use that one to go into the next activity. Yeah, the whole one, yes. Mm-hmm. Either you use the big five one to do our next activity, or you use the one that starts off with feedback. You'll pick the one of those and use all five that it said. Yes, ma'am. All right, I have, this is our last activity, and it is called Know Thyself. All right, can you raise your hand if you do not have the last activity? It says Know Thyself. Okay. All right, we're looking at personality traits and self-awareness. The name of this activity is Know Thyself. All right, so what is our premise? Your unique personality is the key determinant that drives your behavior and decisions. As you gain a better understanding of it, you'll learn how to successfully engage the diverse circumstances of life, work, and ministry. All right, so directions. Review your results from both the personality assessments you completed before today. And we're going to use the information to answer the questions below. Remember, you're just going to choose one so you can be consistent. Just choose the one that you believe most accurately reflects you. All right, directions. We're going on to number one. The first one talks about write your score on how you were rated on each of the big five traits in the space provided. So on the assessment that you chose, you're going to, under extrovert versus introvert, you're going to tell either that percentile, or you're going to say low, high, average, whatever the designation was. And you'll do that for all five. So you can go ahead and do that now. All right, have we all wrote our scores for number one? All right, now that you know your scores, you see them in black and white, you know what they are. Now, number two talks about select the trait that you would like to develop or learn more about and list it below. So now you have all your scores, and I know some of them you agree with, some of them you may not agree with. So choose one of those that you say, okay, I need to take some time and kind of focus on this one and write it in number two. All right, after you've identified the one you want to work on in number two, move on to number three. And it talks about listing 2 to 3 advantages and 2 to 3 disadvantages related to this trait. Yes, the one you want to work on, the one you identified in number two. Now you want to look at, okay, what are the advantages of this trait? What are some disadvantages of this trait? And you can list about 2 to 3 of both, 2 to 3 advantages, 2 to 3 disadvantages. All right, when you're ready, you can move on to number four. Talks about what impact has this trait had on your relationships, and this could be relationships at home, relationships on your job, or relationships in ministry. So you've selected the trait you want to work on. You've listed some advantages and disadvantages. Now, can you identify any impact, positive or negative, that this may have had on your relationships? At home or work or in ministry. For example, if you are an extreme extrovert, has this had an impact on people at home, people at your job, people that you work with or team with in ministry? Just as an example. All right, if you're ready, you can move to number five. After four, you've identified possibly a positive or negative impact. Now that you're aware of the impact of this trait, what can you do to improve? Or rather, what can you do to adapt this trait so that you'll prevail in the situations of life? All right, if you will circle number one, just put a circle around the number one, a circle around the number two, and a circle around the number five. Circle number one, number two, and number five. Raise your hand if you're still working. Okay. All right, as we have a few people finishing up, I would like for the daring and bold leaders to volunteer, and we're going to focus on number one, number two, and number five. From number one, I only want you to share your high and your low score What were you the highest in? What were you the lowest in? That's number one. Then I want you to share number two, the one that you want to develop or focus on. And then for number five, what is that one thing you're going to do to improve or to adapt to that particular trait? You with me? All right, so for those of you that are the daring and bold leaders who are going to share, from number one, I want you to just tell us your highest and your lowest score. For number two, tell us which trait you're going to focus on. And then number five, what is that one thing you're going to do to improve or adapt to that trait? Okay? Ms. Wilma Thomas? Okay.
And so the thing that I want to work on is to see more culture and educational things to do when we go on our family outings, because it's all about shopping and going to nice restaurants. Then we go out, so I've been too narrow-minded.
Okay. You want to work on the open, okay, your openness, okay? And how are you going to do that, number five? Okay, you're going to seek out. Okay. I saw another hand back there. Does anyone? Okay, Mr. Harrison.
My high one was agreeable and disagreeable. And then my low one was open and closed as well. So the trait that I selected was open and closed to work on. And I put down for number five to just be more receptive, to identify that trait in my decision-making and acknowledge it, that it may have influence over me, and to, just acknowledge it and say, it doesn't impact me.
Right. I gotcha. Thank you. Ms. Armstrong?
My highest was both agreeable and disagreeable. The lowest was emotionally.
Okay. I can see that. All right. Miss Holt. I'm sorry, Mrs. No last name.
number one, my high one was conscientious, and my low one was emotionally controlled or eroticism. Mm-hmm. Number two, I decided to work on openness because I chose that one because if I'm more open, then I can control my emotions better. So the way I'm going to do that is to, it's a popular saying that if it's not broke, don't fix it. But what I'll do is basically look for ways to improve it or ask if there's a better way or another way. Mm-hmm. So that'll kind of keep me open.
Mm-hmm. Expanding alternatives. A lot of people are working on openness. Okay. Mr. Thomas?
Relatively high was conscientious and carefree from the country. And low or average was the extrovert. What I saw was a trait I needed if I wanted to work on was just trying to be more outgoing.
Okay, working on that low trait, extrovert, introvert.
The advantage of that, I would be more relaxed and cool, be more able to work with other people there.
Number five, one way that you're going to do that, yeah.
I just have to push myself.
Yeah.
It's a cover zone, so I have to put more pressure on myself to be more active and talk.
I agree. That's me, too. Have to force myself to talk to people. Can y'all believe that? It's true. You don't know. It's true. I know me. No, I'm just Cecilia Hall.
My high was conscientious, and my low was open close. And when we work on the open close,
Okay.
And how I'm going to do that is erase preconceptions when I'm going to introduce new people or new situations.
Okay. Good. You all sound really in tune with yourselves. Ms. Charlie?
My heart was conscientious, and my low was emotionally. My low was emotionally controlled.
Oh, I get the mic.
Well, you were condescending.
Okay. My high was conscientious. My low was emotionally controlled. And what I'd like to work on is the extrovert. And by talking more, because I'm viewed as quiet. So, and that's it. So, I'm talking more, right?
It's step one, phase one. would anyone else like to share? Okay. Do you want the mic?
My high was conscientious, and I got a disagreement. My low one on the thing was open and close, but see, open and close on that says that you like familiar stuff and tradition. See, I ain't traditional. I don't like tradition. So, that's wrong. Okay. Huh? I'm talking about life. You know what I'm talking about. So I just thought I'd throw that out. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Now, what I chose to work on is the neuroticism. But I got an average on it. But the reason why is because it creates negative thinking for me. And but I'm not easily impressed on the advantage side, and I'm not easily influenced on the advantage side. But the negative thinking, you know, kind of keep me from stepping out. Because, see, then nobody know I was funny. See, now y'all know I'm funny. Some people that know me know, but anyway, hallelujah. Okay, now what I'm going to do is continue to listen to my tapes, do my confession, and to see myself accomplishing the things that I want to do, like my dreams and my visions, and then I'm going to act upon it by, you know, doing some things that I know I need to do.
Praise the Lord, I agree with that. See yourself first. If you can't see it, you can't have it. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. I hope you have a better understanding and awareness of yourselves today. If you look back at page 8, we'll just quickly go through the conclusions and then we'll wrap it up. Should be page 8, conclusions in the middle of the page. All right. It says, number one, it is not about having good or bad traits, but about how your trait profile supports or undermines a particular situation. So you can see that, you know, you need to love you and take it on a case-by-case basis as it relates to how you're going to interact with others and lead. Number two, either trait can be successful, as each has its merits, and different situations may call on the strengths of either approach. The important thing is to be mindful of the need to emphasize the positives of your natural style and mitigate or lessen the drawbacks. Number three, understanding your own profile and the relative strengths of each trait can help you understand why you tend to do things the way you do, think the way you do, and react the way you do, and that is so true. Note, you do not need to think, that's just not me. Instead, you can think, my natural reaction would be to do X, but in this particular situation, what different behaviors might I need to bring into play to achieve the desired outcome? So keep that in the forefront of your mind. And you can go through the reflection questions at your leisure. And with that, I will turn it over to Pastor Mike for closing remarks.
I want to just kind of say that, you know, it's true. I thought the very first exercise spoke really to me, because it's important to know what you think about you, but it's also important, and probably even more so important for a leader, to know how other people perceive you. So I thought it was just a great exercise, knowing yourself and knowing what you need to work on. But I thought, Stephanie, you know, I've been working with Stephanie and Melinda on these, and I used to think that Stephanie was introverted. She thinks she's introverted. Yeah, she thinks she's introverted. I think a part of her want to feel like she's introverted. But I discovered that she's not introverted at all. I mean, she's not introverted at all. She's not. She's not. She wasn't today. She wasn't in my meetings. And she even throw you down and tear you off and all that kind of stuff. No, I'm just joking. But Stephanie is so smart. She's just so smart, and she has a tremendous ability to communicate. And I was happy for the exercises today, but I was happy for her. So, because I think you got a chance to see her in a whole different light. Did y'all see it in a different light today? And I think she just did a wonderful job, and I'm so proud of her. I mean, just awesome. I thought it was good. Because I had this image of how she was, that she was so quiet and all that, and then she get in those little meetings and start talking, and I found out that she's not really, really quiet. But she's going to do more of these exercises and lead us more, because she needs to. You need to hear her, and I thought it was just wonderful. And I also learned that Kathleen has a sense of humor, and that was just great. You just hilarious. Anything you like to say in closing? She had no remarks. She had no remarks. But I thought it was a good. I thought it was a good exercise today. I thought it was a good training session. I thought you did good. Did y'all have fun? A good teacher makes a learning journey a joy. How many of you found out something about yourself you didn't know? Naomi, I was waiting diligently to hear what you had to say, and I agree with you 100% everything that you said, but I thought it was good, y'all. Any questions, comments, or whatever before we close? We gave you some change today. Nothing else? Love y'all. Good job, girl. Good job.